Am I supposed to be teaching tonight? I got nothing, folks.
Is that news to you?
Sorry. Happy that you're here. We have a whole room full. Hopefully we can keep it that way. So good to see you. Happy to, I've already lost Linda.
Sorry, I'll be back.
But anyway, happy that you guys are here. We're starting this series on the eternal plan. It's God's eternal plan for mankind. And just to kind of give you an overview of the scheme of what we're planning on doing, after we get through this winter session, hopefully we can have all 13 weeks. You know how it is in the winter. We have a tent. I see you, Dan. You're ducking, but I can still see you. We may have some snow days. You know, if that happens, that happens. That's just Ohio. That's Ohio. But then the ladies plan on having a class in the springtime. And then we will pick up again, and we'll talk about the eternal kingdom. And so we're excited about this. And hopefully, prayerfully, we can all get on the same page. Tell you what, I welcome questions. I want us to ask questions. But I really want to try to stay on task as we go through this. Because I want you to really see the mastermind of God. I want you to see that God specifically has always had a plan to save mankind. So let's go through this. I'm going to have to look back. Oops, there it is right there. I want to pass out some things to you, and I want to encourage you.
Hey, you're just in time.
There you go. There's pens here. People need ink pens. I don't know. Someone can come along and pass out pens as well if you need them. But I really want to encourage you to take notes. You know, now with this right here, this sheet that I'm passing out, we're going to draw a diagram here in just a second, and I'll explain to you what I want. Kind of looks a little bit like this right here. You have a cross in the middle. You see a horizontal line and two vertical lines there.
So it's a cross on a goalpost?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. And if you stay with me during this course of study, if you stay with me, I think that you will see this will serve a great purpose. Not only to you individually, but you will be able to take a very simple diagram like this, and you can sit down with anybody and fill in the blanks, and share with them God's plan to save man. Now, as far as an introduction, the materials that we're going to be using, I borrowed heavily from. This book right here, I think, if you want to follow along, you can order this. This is Brother Jerry Tallman. Ohio Valley College bookstore, I think, or OBU bookstore, I think, carries these. So this is a wonderful book. Brother Jerry Tallman, I'm not sure where he's preaching now. I know when I attended his seminar, his lecture for this particular book. He was preaching up in Michigan, Rochester Hills, I think it was, Michigan. And, you know, it was a phenomenal class. This is a great book, folks, great source. There's another book. This you cannot purchase. Max Johnson. When Kathy and I went to India back in 1998, Max was the elder, one of the elders of the congregation, down in Columbus, Mississippi, and he led our team, and he wrote this book and did a phenomenal job with it. This is called The Scarlet Thread. So what I've done is I've kind of borrowed some things from Brother Tallman and borrowed some things from Brother Johnson and threw some of my own stuff in there, And hopefully we're going to have a wonderful quarter as we begin to look at this lesson. But basically this lesson right here, whenever we talk about the scarlet thread, I love what Max Thompson does in this book. What he does is, and we're going to discuss it tonight, he looks at 15 various periods throughout the Bible. There's 15. You can break them down into ages, or you can break them down into periods. And what he does is he goes through and he looks at periods, various periods of time, and tries to identify this concept of God's plan for mankind. God's plan to redeem man by looking at each period. We'll discuss this in just a little bit. Also, as far as by way of introduction, the purpose of the study is twofold. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3. And let's, who wants to read verses 13 through 17? Go ahead, David, if you'll do that for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And give us a chance to get there and then and read that for us. When you're ready, go ahead.
But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay. Notice what Paul says here. What does he say about evil men?
They're going to get worse.
They're going to get worse and worse, right? They're going to get worse and worse. They are being deceived and they're what? They're deceived. Okay? Well, what is your safeguard? How do you prevent yourself from being deceived and being a deceiver? How can you do that? What does Paul tell Timothy?
Study.
Know the Scriptures. Okay? That's exactly right. Know the Scriptures. All right? Know what the Word of God says. That's your defense. Folks, that is our defense. Okay? So whenever we're looking at this, my purpose in all this is twofold. Number one, to educate you. Educate myself. Okay? Let's be educated on what God's Word says. It will prevent us from being deceived and deceiving others. Okay? Misleading others. Two, evangelize. Evangelize. Educate. Evangelize. That's it. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. You know, Jesus begins by saying, all authority. Who has all authority? He does, doesn't he? Okay? So he just draws a line in the sand. He says, hey, I have the credibility to say what I'm saying. I have all authority. What does he want you to do? Go spread the gospel. All right? Go out teaching them to observe some of the things that I've commanded you. You can pick and choose. It's up to you, whatever you think. Now, Roger, if you feel like this is too hard and they can't handle it, you best just keep your mouth shut. Is that what he says?
No.
Hey, brother, I want to tell you, believe it or not, I was in a congregation many years ago where they told me that. There's certain things we don't teach in this church. I didn't take that job, Archie. I didn't take that job. I said, okay. Yeah, at least they were honest with me. It wasn't here. No, it wasn't here. So here's the thing. And he's telling you, I want you to take what you've been educated about and go teach it. Okay? Folks, let's not allow the gospel to be the best kept secret in town. It shouldn't be. Okay? Everybody deserves to know. Everybody deserves to know. Okay? And what Dawn had mentioned it earlier with regards to Missy. And her baptism. Yes, ma'am.
Where I could watch you, I came up front so I could follow you very clearly.
Okay, I will stand right here.
No, I just don't. Joel had it past me.
Okay, I'll do the best I can. I'll bring a leash.
Okay.
Thank you.
You just reel me
back
in.
And, take
yeah, you just you reel me in. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'd like to watch your lips.
I'm not going to go in and read my lips thing. So, but anyway, all right. So, you know, and it was such a joy to have Missy baptized Monday night. What a thrill that was. You know, and it's just a reminder and a testament to the fact that God's Word is powerful. Still is powerful. And it touches hearts. And it changes lives. So, guys, that's our mission. Sometimes the Bible is covered by looking at three dispensations. Okay? The patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian dispensation. The patriarchal covers from Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus chapter 19. The Mosaic covers from Exodus chapter 20 to Acts chapter 1. And the Christian dispensation goes from Acts chapter 2 to the end of the book of Revelation. But what we are going to look at tonight, we're going to be following a system of study that deals with various periods of the Bible. And those periods are up here, okay? They are the antediluvian period, the post-diluvian period, the patriarchal period, the Egyptian bondage, the wilderness wanderings, the conquest of Canaan, the judges, the United Kingdoms, the divided kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Babylon, or the Babylonian captivity, the return of the exiles, between the Testaments, the life of Christ, and the Lord's church, or the church of Christ. I realize, guys, when you look at this, you think, man, there's a lot there. Okay? I do not intend to get into the specifics in every period. We'll be teaching this class for 3 or 4 years before we get done with it. Okay? I just want us to get... Again, in each period, I want us to approach it with this question in mind. If God has a plan to save man, where in this period, what do I see? A passage, maybe an event, something that reminds me of the fact that God is true to his plan. Here's evidence of it. I see it. Whether it's a prophet making a prophecy, whether it's an event that occurs, that I can look at this and identify the fact, wow, here it is. He's remaining true to his plan. Okay? I'll give you all a chance to write some of this stuff down. Now listen, if you miss some of this, some of these notes, get with me after class. Okay? And I'll make sure... If you miss some stuff, that you get it, okay? If I have to electronically send you a copy of this, I'll do it, okay? Because I want you to get it, okay? So when we think about God's eternal plan, there are perhaps many questions that come into mind. Some of these questions might be, well, what does that mean? God's plan. God's got a plan. What is God's plan? Now, I want you to think about this not only from your own perspective, but you are, remember, it's educational and it's evangelistic in nature. You're going to be sharing this. Come at it from that angle, okay, folks? Let's not, again, let this be the best kept secret in town. Because these are questions that maybe not only you have individually, but if you talk about God's plan with somebody, they're going to have these questions. Well, what do you mean God's plan? What is God's plan? Why wouldn't God just create something on the fly? We've used that terminology before. Oh, I'm pretty flexible. You know, whatever you want to do, well, that's fine. I'll do it. You know, why not when a crisis develops, well, you know, let's just come up with another plan. I'm here to tell you that God, because of his attributes and because of his character, God knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. Now, sometimes that's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. But that's God. That's the difference between God and us, right? We can have a premonition that something's going to happen, okay? We tell our kids that all the time. You get close to that stove and you touch that stove, you're going to get burned, okay? Next thing you know, 10 minutes later, you hear some squalling and crying, right? Because they did, you know, what they were not supposed to do. Someone might say, well, wait a minute, Scott. Are you saying that God knew that things were going to happen before they actually happened? For example, God knew Adam and Eve were going to sin. God knew that? Absolutely. Absolutely, God knew that. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. Let's flip over here. I want to look at a passage here in just a moment. And I want us to discuss something here. If you would, actually, I think it's 1 Peter. It is. It's not 2 Peter, guys. I blew that one. It's 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Who wants to read verses 17 through 25 in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25? Logan, take that, please.
And if you call on the Father without partial faith, that is according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here and here. Knowing that you were never deemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, and your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, it was a precious blood of Christ.
Okay, I want you to notice some things here. Okay, let's break this down. Sorry, Patsy, I'm over here. I'm right here. let's break this down. Verse 19. We are redeemed how? By the blood of Christ. Okay? What does the word redeemed mean? Bought back. Okay? Reconcile is brought back. Redeemed is bought back. Okay? All right? So we are redeemed. We sing that song, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? All right? We have learned this. Verse 21. We believe in God. Okay? Another part to this. We believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And what about Jesus? What does Peter say? Okay, we'll get to that, Archie, but in this particular passage, and he was what?
Raised
from the dead. I want you guys to please understand that we hang our hat of hope on that alone. You get it? Go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Paul is finishing out his letter to those saints in Corinth, he has to get them to understand. He has been trying for 14 chapters to explain to them how to be spiritual and not carnal. Okay? How to be godly people instead of worldly people. And in the end, he's explaining to them, this is why it's worth it. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a hope of everlasting life. Heaven. Peter says it in just one verse right here. Right here. He says, we believe in God's Son. And that he raised him from the dead. Notice this also, guys. We are born again. How? How are we born again? Okay. That's right. He says born again by obedience unto the word of God. Okay. You're born again. By way of obedience unto God's word. He says a mouthful here. Look at this. God's word will remain true forever. Folks, listen. The only thing that's going to stand when the world is on fire is truth. You hear me? The only thing that is going to stand when the world is on fire is truth. That's what Peter is saying. God's word will stand when the world is on fire. But as Archie alluded to earlier, verse 20, this is what I want you to focus on. Verse 1. What's it say? God's plan to redeem man was set in motion what? Before the foundation of the world. What does that tell us? God knew. Now, you know, some may look at that and say, well, that's a setup. No. No, when we get into the antediluvian moving pieces and parts here in just a little bit, we're going to see that that wasn't a setup at all. You know, just because God knows something doesn't violate your free will. You still have a free will. You can still choose. It's just God knows. God knows in advance. Okay? So this is a powerful passage. Now, let me do this. Let me stop here just for a moment. Up to this point, do you have any questions or comments at this particular juncture? Any thoughts? Dan.
I have one question that I've wondered for many, many, a long time.
Okay.
God, in Genesis, God talks about, or God's word says that the world was so sinful that God regretted making the earth. And he knows all things. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had this discussion before. Mm-hmm. God may know all, but does he ever choose to... Because he created, this is his creation. Why, if he knew that it was
going to
go corruptible and horribly wrong,
right,
why would he create
it? You know, that's a good question. There are some things that God chooses to not know. You can see passages where, and God remembered. Then there, if God remembered, then there are some things that God chose to set aside.
Do you off the top of your head know where that chapter and verse is?
Not off the top of my head. Google it. Let Google be your friend.
All right.
Logan.
I believe there's a reference to God remembering in Genesis chapter 6 with the account of blood.
Mm-hmm.
God remembers Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I might add that even knowing that something's going to happen doesn't always too much prepare you for the full horror when it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he knew it was going to be as sinful, knowing doesn't portray the reality of when you're actually watching it happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take away the disappointment, does it?
No.
You know, I mean, you know, you kind of, there's a joke in the Spencer household, and I am mocked for saying this. I just knew it was going to happen. You know, I just knew it, Michael. I just knew it, you know. But just because I knew it doesn't mean I'm any less disappointed. Okay? As a matter of fact, I'm more disappointed. Yes.
As our kids get older?
Yes.
We kind of step back and, like, I'll tell Austin all the time.
Uh-oh, Austin.
He'll ask me something, and I'll say, here's my opinion.
Uh-huh.
You do what you think is right.
Uh-huh.
And even if I know, you know, that his decision may not be the best,
uh-huh,
I have to let him make those decisions. And it's difficult.
Yep. Okay. We'll move right along. Austin, you can lift your head up now.
The scriptures say that God remembered Rachel, God remembered Hannah,
yep,
God remembered Rebecca, God remembered,
yep,
Joseph, God remembered David.
Yep.
And in each case, it was a matter of them doing something that separated them from God, and then God remembering that they were his folks and,
yes,
bringing them forward. That doesn't mean he didn't know them. It just
means... That's right.
That he opted to do something.
Yep, that was that exactly.
On their behalf.
Exactly. Let's look at our diagram. Now, you got your little diagram. Folks, I want to tell you, I am not good with this stuff. Jeff, I'm going to be calling you and asking you. I've got other little lines to fill in. Brother, I have no clue how to get them in there. It was amazing I could do this right here. You know, there's all kind of little squiggly lines on Microsoft, you know, and... I worked a long time on trying to get that right there. So I'm a little fearful of what the future's going to look like as far as our chart. But anyway, you know, put this up here. You see creation on this side. You see judgment down here at the end. And God's eternal plan, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. You know, God knew. Okay, God knew. This vertical line with regards to creation is where we're going to camp out here just for a little bit tonight. That period right there, the antediluvian period. So everybody got this? Let's look at this. The antediluvian period goes from creation to the flood. So from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 5. Again, we're asking ourselves, we're going into this study, and I'm asking myself, where do I see in Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 5, God showing his hand to me that he is going to redeem mankind? Is there a passage? Is there an event? Is there something that's going on there that reminds me that God has a plan to redeem man? So again, covers Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at this. Let's look at some of the moving pieces and parts here in Genesis in chapter 1. Someone take Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Lloyd.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
What's that?
Yeah,
there you go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, you know, as we're looking at this, you know, there are five critical things that scientists look to with regards to their field of study. Okay? You know, and this is something, if you guys have done the Joel Miller film strips, you know, you've done those before. You know, when we're looking at the five essential things that scientists recognize, time, they look at space, they look at force, energy, and matter. Do you know you see all five right there in that verse? You see all five in that verse. Time, what? In the? Now, time is in the beginning. God is the force. Created is the energy. The heaven is the space, and the earth is the matter. When we look at Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to say this as emphatically and clearly as I can, is that, folks, everything that God wants us to see about structure and order is right here. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. As we go through this period, everything that God wants to show us about structure and order is right here. It's right here. So when we're looking at this, this creation period, God created the earth. 6 days, seventh day, God rested. You know, and as we're telling this story, this creation story, and we're thinking about God redeeming man, and we start out, and in the beginning, you know, it's a good place to begin, in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, and we see God creating the universe. Everything that God has created in 5 days. On that fifth day, when God creates animals, and he also creates his greatest creation, man. Right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We see God. We see Christ. We see the Holy Spirit at work. Literally, God putting himself into his work. How do we know this? He created man in his
image.
His own image, didn't he? Okay? God created man. Okay? And we see that in Genesis in chapter 1. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, we see something else going on here. We see the story of Eden. Again, let's think about structure and order here just for a little bit. So, we begin actually around verse 7 in Genesis in chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being, didn't he? Then the Lord God planted the garden eastward of Eden, and he put the man that he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that was pleasing in the sight and was good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. Then he goes on and he talks about the river, the Euphrates and the Tigris here that is listed. But I want you to notice something as we come on down. Look at verse 15 in Genesis in chapter 2. Then the Lord God took the man that he put in the Garden of Eden. And what happens here? What does it say? It's simple.
We're going to take care of it.
Oh, wait a minute. Lord, didn't he tell him just that? Go kick back, man. Go kick back under shade and just eat. Yeah. You know, sleep and drink and be happy. You know, go have fun. You know? That's interesting. Now, listen, I'm trying to tell you that God is setting things in motion based upon the way he intends for man to live his life. Okay? There is structure. There is order. God has put man in this beautiful place, but he says, I got a job for you. I got a job for you. I want you to tend it. I want you to keep it. Okay? I don't know how many times maybe we've read that, and that's got bias. Okay, Dan, you're going to be the one tonight. Back to you.
That makes Adam the first servant.
Yes. You're right, man. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know what else that makes, Dan? You know, that gives Scott Spencer an idea on what God expects of man. You see what I'm saying? There's structure. God is setting the tempo. God is showing us an example of this is what you're to do. This is how you're to live your life. You know, don't just be laying around and be lazy. You got a job to do. I'm sorry, folks. It's there. Okay? Sam, did you have your hand up?
Basically, I was saying the same thing. Sounds like what he's doing is putting man in a position where you take care of this.
Yes.
You're going to run into problems.
Yes.
You're going to have difficulties. And you need to come back to the Creator.
Yes.
To get those problems solved.
Yes. Very good. You're following it. Yes.
It just goes to show me how, you know, God calls himself our Father.
Yes.
Being a parent, that's one of the things that, you know, you're given a child to tend to. You know, any parent knows, you know, starting off young, if you don't give them something to do throughout the day, it becomes chaos.
Yeah.
It becomes utter destruction and chaos. They want something.
You're talking about providing structure for
them,
aren't you? Yes.
They need that structure.
Ooh.
Otherwise, they don't know what to do.
Yes.
They're lost.
Oh, man.
God,
I think you guys are getting it. That's what I'm saying. It's right here, guys. The structure and order that God is, from the very beginning, he's saying, look, pay attention to this. Now, I'm trying to show you, you know, this is the model for mankind. Okay? You know, I didn't put you in this paradise just to, you know, kick back and, you know, I don't have to do anything. You know, I can just, you know, be a numbskull and just lay around and, you know, not have to do anything. You know, that is not the model God gave us. Okay? I'm sorry, it's not. Okay? All right. Rolling right along. So I wanted you guys to see that. So then verse 15. 16, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat it, you shall what?
Die.
You may die.
Yep.
Huh? Sure. Oh, that's, you know, that's important. You remember that. Now, God doesn't want you to do that, does he? He's just joking. Now, I'm going to count to 10. And then, okay, then maybe, you know, I'll put you in time now. You know. Hey, folks, we're learning something else about God. God says what he means. And he means what he says. Every time. Now, you talked about fathers. You know, that's the model we're seeing. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids. I don't want this to break out into a parent-child type of thing. Now, Dan, you be quiet during this section. But, you know, is the fact that you got to be consistent. You got to be
are you going to say something?
No, I just said that you said it was God joking, and I said the ass that he was.
The what?
The
ass.
The
snake. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Yeah. And I was doing so good until you threw that at me. So get your mind out of the gutter, woman. So, but yes, I got you. All right. We were doing so good. Thank you, man.
It's on me to behave.
That's right. All right. So, we're talking about order. We're talking about structure. Listen, guys, I know this is basic. I understand this. I get it. We're in trouble today because we've forgotten basics. When I was playing baseball for Ohio Valley College in spring training in Tampa, the New York Yankees and the Cincinnati Reds were getting ready to square off in a game. And I remember walking by some of the equipment. I remember walking by the bullpen. And for the pitcher or whoever's doing the pitching to the batter, they stand behind this big screen. And draped over this screen was something that I had been taught. I was taught from the time I was this high when I played baseball. Keep your eye on the ball. There it is. Do you know, even in the major leagues, they still yet have to go back and teach the very basics? They have to. Because when you forget the basics, man, you forget why you are, who you are, and what it's all about. So, what do we see here? Man's alone. He's got a good setup. You know, he's in his garden. It's a beautiful place. But I'm all alone. Adam names the animals. And God causes a deep sleep to fall over Adam. And what happens? Remember what happened? He created a woman. I didn't hear it. I've heard too much. So, you know, but he creates a woman. He takes her rib from Adam and he brings this woman to him. And look at this. Now, again, Adam said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called man?"
Woman.
Because she was taken out of he, man. Alright? "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And it says they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Alright, let's stop. Structure and order, Patsy. Okay. Are we seeing structure and order for the family? For the home? You better believe we are.
We are in the Bible.
Yes.
Not in the world.
Right. Are we seeing structure and order in the Bible? God is giving us a model of structure, isn't he? And order in the home, right? Okay? He's provided that. Here's that structure. Here's that order. Okay? Man, guys, it's throughout this period. And we see it time and time again. We see it on a universal scale. We just saw it in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. Isn't that amazing that we don't have... Look, guys, there's a lot of spins. There's a lot of planets floating around out there. You could spend, the rest of the year telling us all about these planets. It's amazing they don't bounce into one another. You know? It's just incredible, that we're not any closer to the sun than we are. Because if so, we would all burn up. We're farther away. And we would freeze. Oh, there's structure. There's order. On a universal scale. There's structure. There's order within mankind as far as relationships, and God showing us, hey, look, you know, you gotta work, buddy. You know, and you gotta, you know, you gotta learn how to treat your wife. Okay? Not him, but her. You know, or her and her, and him and him. No, that's not the structure and order. All right, Genesis chapter 3. That serpent is depicted as being more cunning than any beast of the field. What does that mean to you? Huh?
Crafty.
He's crafty. Why is he crafty? Well, why is he got to be crafty for? Why you got to be so crafty?
You don't be able to deceive people.
Oh, why would he try? Why would he want to deceive Eve? Why would he want to do that? Why would the devil want to do that? He doesn't do that today, does he? He doesn't do that today, does he, Mike? I mean, he leaves us alone. I mean, he accomplished what he wanted to then. He's got this whole sin thing in the world. I'll leave you all alone. Right? You know that's not true. In our conversation, remember our conversation Monday night? Okay. All right? Satan's just beginning to pick on you. Seriously. You know? I mean, it's real, folks. Okay? It is real. Spiritually, the devil's like, you did what? you obeyed the gospel. Really? Uh-oh. Now you're on the list. I got to work harder. That's right. You know, now you're going to tick me off. Okay? So, Eve... man, I just can't wrap my mind around talking to a snake. You know, they're good on boots, but that's about it. You know, but anyway, what does Satan do? He has a question, doesn't he? He begins the conversation. He begins the dialogue with Eve, right? What is he asking her? Look at it.
What were the instructions?
Okay. Did God really tell you? What? Did God really tell you that? Yeah. You see, folks, here is Satan's M.O. It is this. It has always been this. Always, always question the authority of God. Always. If I can question the authority of God and I can plant seeds of doubt in your mind, we're on the right road. We're on the right road. Yes.
I think it's interesting how he's not only calling the command to question, but he's kind of painting it in a negative light with the way he phrases it.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
He really say you can't do
that. You can see that, can't you, Logan? Yeah. I mean, I can hear that in my head. Really? Did God tell you that? Really? You know? So, you know, that's exactly what's happening. And she gives the right response. Well, you know, God told us that we can partake of every tree of the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden... The tree of knowledge of good and evil. He says we're to stay away from that. You know, if we do partake of that, we'll die. Okay. But then, look at what Satan does, guys. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Oh man, he's brazen now. You won't die. You're not going to die. God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, and you'll know good and evil. Now, there was some truth to that. Their eyes were open, weren't they? All right? That state of innocence was gone. Okay? When she partakes of that forbidden fruit, that state of innocence, it is gone. Okay? It's gone. She gives to her husband. She gives to Adam, and he partakes of the fruit. Okay, now look at verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God in the garden on the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, and they hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman you gave..." Now, here we go, the blame game. This is the blame game, right? What does he say? It's her fault. Right? Yeah, it's her fault, you know?
He blames God.
Yeah. Well, The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Okay, he's putting the blame over, you know, to her. You know, he's blaming her. Okay, then the woman said, well, the serpent. It's the serpent. Excuse me, the serpent. Excuse me. And then the serpent, you know, he's quite happy. So well, I'll fall on the sword, you know. So, Archie, go ahead.
Do you think she really had eaten?
Do you think that she really had to eat it? She had a choice.
He said also if you touch it.
Yeah.
You touch it.
Yeah.
You know, today we think that you have to participate in something to be evil.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
Or touch it.
That's right. Touch it. Yeah. Paul said abstain from every appearance of evil, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, we got the blame game going on here, guys. Now, we're getting to the heart of this. God's going to dole out the consequences. The Lord said to the serpent in verse 14, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any of the cattle, and more of every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. What does that tell you? He had what? Every other animal has legs. You know? He's going to the belly. He's going to the ground. He's going to eat dust. All right? And you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Then he goes on and he tells the woman about multiplying her sorrow during conception and pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. Then to Adam, he says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you've eaten from the tree which I've commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall... basically, the earth is cursed as a result of this. Okay? Now, let's stop just for a moment, because we're getting close to finishing up here just in a few moments. Do you see anything in here that would tip you in a direction that there is a model, there is something here that says, you know, there is a Savior coming. There is a God's, God has a plan to redeem man. Do you see anything in here that tells you this?
Seed.
The seed, Archie. Look at verse 15. You see it? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Traditionally, among most Bible scholars, this is the first messianic prophecy. Right here. Okay? You go back and you look in Galatians in chapter 4, verse 4. In due season, this seed, this Messiah was to be born of a woman. Okay? And you compare that with this here, it fits like a glove. It fits like a glove. Now, when we're depicting the bruising and the crushing and the seed, Jesus being wounded and Satan, how does that all fit together? How does that fit with regards to messianic prophecy? It fits this way. I guess we're done. It fits this way, guys. Satan, literally, the Hebrew word there, he strikes out. Okay? He does affect Christ. Okay? By his crucifixion. He did affect Christ by his crucifixion. But when Jesus raises from the grave, he delivers a crushing blow to the devil that he can never recover from. There's that little nugget for you. Okay? In this antediluvian period, God is just showing us something. Now, would Adam and Eve understand that at that particular time? I don't know. But we have the benefit of looking at, you know, hindsight. Looking in the rearview mirror and saying, oh, that's what that meant. So, next week, I want you guys to begin reading. Start in Genesis chapter 6. I think we'll go through Genesis chapter 11. We're going to look at the post-diluvian period. Now, again, I threw some hints out at you. When we're looking for snapshots, we're looking for something where God is showing us my plan to redeem man, it's in here. And let's find it. Okay? Let's dig and find it. Okay. Thank you for your time and your attention. I appreciate it. Yes, we're done.
Thank you, Scott.
All right.
Excellent.
Did that seem to go well for you, the overhead?